I was talking with Mike before a men's breakfast. I think it was back somewhere around June or so. And it was just him and I in the kitchen. And Mike was sharing with me something that was going on at your work. I don't remember exactly what it was, a contract dispute or something that was going. I remember saying to Mike, I wish there was no need for unions. Now, understand what I said correctly. Don't misinterpret. I did not say, I wish there were no unions. I said, I wish there was no need for unions. I wish that employers and employees got along and cared for each other so well that you didn't have to have two sides that were kind of antithetical to each other. And I mentioned a verse here in Ruth chapter 2, verse 4, about how Boaz and his workers, verse 4, were just interested in each other. And if it could only be like that. Tonight, Lord willing, and next Sunday night, I want to look at the employer-employee relationship. Tonight I want to look at it from the viewpoint of what makes a good boss. And then, Lord willing, next Sunday I'll look at it from the employees, what makes a good employee. There are a number of things in here about Boaz that are good character qualities of a boss. And I'm going to tell you right up front, because you might be saying, well, I'm not an employer, I'm not a boss, I'm not over anybody else. You probably are. At least at certain times, you may not have a company that you're running, but you might be a boss in the situation of a parent to a child or a grandparent to a grandchild or something like that, where you have some authority and input into another person's life. Maybe you're part of the civic organization where you're doing something, leading in some way along those lines. Maybe it's something in your neighborhood, but usually everyone from time to time gets in the position of authority. So everything that I'm going to say about Boaz as a boss, as an employer, can be made to apply to you in your situations in life. Read along with me, beginning at verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. I'm going to stop right there before we get into this thing very far. And notice something here in verse 1. Boaz was a mighty man of wealth. Sometimes that is seen as a problem between an employer and employee. And certainly it can be. But it doesn't need to be a problem. Wealth in Scripture can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing. The problem isn't the wealth itself, it's a person's attitude towards it. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil, not money itself. It is a necessary thing that an employer and their business be profitable. If the business is not making money, do you know what that means for its employees? They will soon be out of a job. It is absolutely necessary that an employer turn a profit. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's a good thing. It can be a bad thing, though, when the profit becomes the sole existence of the employer without any care for anything else. But here Boaz was a mighty man of wealth, but he had a proper response toward his money. Verse 2, and Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. They had come back from Moab. They came back basically without anything in their pockets. It was the beginning of the barley harvest. They had no food in the refrigerator or on the shelves. And it was necessary for them to have some type of food. There were no food kitchens at the time, no pantries or anything along those lines. In order for them to eat, it would be necessary for Ruth to go out during the harvest and find someone who would allow her to pick up the scraps, so to speak, in the harvest. Verse 3, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging to Boaz. In other words, it just so happened in the providence of God that she came to the field of Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. A couple of things here in verse 4 that I think are telling about a good boss. Number one, notice that he is coming from Bethlehem. The field that belonged to him was outside the city, and that makes a whole lot of sense. There's not too many fields within city limits. The question is, what was he doing in Bethlehem? We will see later on that the business affairs are conducted within the city, and Boaz, being a businessman, was involved in those things. So maybe he was doing something with his business in Bethlehem. Maybe his house where he lived was in Bethlehem. Maybe it wasn't out here at the field. Scripture doesn't tell us where he lived and what he was doing and so forth, so we can only guess. I would tend to believe that his house was where the field was. He was in Bethlehem doing business at the time. Whether or not that's true, it really makes not a whole lot of difference. The fact of the matter is, where his business is, the property that he owns, there he is. He's not staying away from where the work is. He's on site. Now, I don't know how many people he had working for him. I'm sure it wasn't thousands by any means. And I guess the larger businesses get, the more remote the head leaders become. And that's a sad thing. Whenever the leadership is removed in distance and there's not a whole lot of communication between the employer and the employee, you don't have the opportunity of establishing good relationships. And consequently, it's very easy to have a difference of opinion, at least a lack of appreciation for each other. Boaz is right where the workers are. And notice then how he responds then. He comes on the scene, and the first thing he says to them is, the Lord be with you. Boaz was concerned for his employees that they would have a recognition of the benefits of God. Boy, wouldn't that be nice if every employer in the United States wished their employees had an understanding of the benefits of knowing God. But why would he say, the Lord be with you? Let me suggest a possibility. Keep your finger here, or a piece of paper or something. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11, a very familiar verse of Scripture. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want you to come if you are a laborer. Now, excuse me, I'm taking this a little bit out of context, making an application and not so much an interpretation of it. But here are laborers in the field. In the analogy here, Jesus is putting himself as the employer. And he says, I want you to come and be next to me, and I will give you rest. I want your heavy burdens to be shared with me. I want you to be yoked together with me. Now, that yoking takes place by faith and in his person and whatnot. But nonetheless, he's drawing a picture, usually of two oxen that are yoked together. Consequently, you have the abilities of two producing the same or adding to the same amount of work. And Jesus says, my yoke is easy. It's not going to weigh you down. And my burden is light. Do you know why? Because he's going to do the work. He's going to bear the responsibilities. I kind of think that when Boaz says to the workers, "The Lord be with you," he has this idea in mind. Now, obviously, the Lord hadn't said this yet. But nonetheless, I kind of think that might be the idea. I want you to realize that God is able to meet all the needs that you have as you are out there laboring away in the hot sun and working hard. Some might say that this is just a common, ordinary phrase of greeting from one person to another, and maybe it was, but maybe not. Remember, this is taking place during the time of the period of the judges. And if you remember from our study of Judges many, 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 many moons ago, it was a cyclical thing, that there would be a time of prosperity in which the people would be rejoicing, but they would forget God. And because they forgot God, judgment would come upon them. And when the judgment came, they would be crying out for a deliverer, and God would raise up a deliverer. And once again, they would be put back in a place of prosperity. Only thing is, they never quite recovered to the first estate. And the second time around, they just dipped a little bit lower and never kind of got back to the second point. And then they dipped a little bit lower. We don't know exactly how far they are in this and what part of the cycle they're in. But in that, there was a famine 10 years prior to this. It might be that God was bringing that as a sign of coming judgment for their sins. Maybe the deliverer has been raised up at this point. They're back in a time of prosperity. And maybe he really is recognizing the goodness of God and wanting that for his employees. I tend to believe that's true. Nonetheless, he's desiring the blessings of God to be there. Verse 5. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" Now he's coming in, he greets the servant there with the Lord's blessing, but notice that he has one servant that's over all the rest, or at least over some. He's organized in his administration. One of my friends back at ABC who worked with me in the maintenance department, I won't give you a hint as to who it is, but you can figure this one out quite easily. They would know, had a say that at the founding of the maintenance department when ABC was created, the statement was made, "This organization will last forever." Instead of "this organization," it came out "disorganization." Because he said, oftentimes we're disorganized. Boaz was an organized person. Problems exist in employer-employee relationships when there is a breakdown in communications. We know about that one. When communications break down, problems exist. Boaz communicated to one who communicated with another who communicated with the rest. He was organized. But not only that, he was observant of what was going on out in the field. He's coming in. His mind could have been, well, you know, I just made this stock deal here, or I bought this property over here, and all the things that are associated. I have taxes due today, and I need to do this and that and everything else. But he comes in, he greets the servant that's over the rest, and he says, "Wait a minute, there's somebody out there, never been here before." He recognized what was going on. The fact that there was another woman out there was not necessarily a very noticeable thing, but he noticed it. He was observant of what was going on. A good employer needs to know what's going on in his business, and he was right there to recognize this. Verse 6, "And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, 'It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab.' And she said, 'I pray you,'" now she's saying this to this overseer, "and she said, 'I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and hath continued, even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house." This man said, she came and asked if I could glean. Now, the Old Testament law said that they were required to leave some of the field for people who were without food so that they could come, do the work of gleaning and getting something to eat, and not have their pride dismantled because they were given a handout. They could say, we worked for this, and keep some legitimate self-esteem, of self-worth. Of course, if the owner of the field was real greedy, he, like the guy in the book in the Gospels, who said, man, I got all this stuff, I better tear down my barns and build bigger barns so I can have more stuff. Boaz apparently had told these fellas, if there are people who have legitimate needs, allow them to glean here. But this man says she's out here and she's been really, really, really working all day long, except for a little break that she tarried in the house. If his house was out where the field was, apparently he opened his home for the convenience of his workers. He provided a place where, if you will, a break room, where because they cannot work all day long without some refreshment and so forth, here's a place that he's opening up of his own, so that these people can have some place to rest and recoup for the rest of the day. And the man says she's been out there working hard, except for that little break in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Not the women, the men. Boaz was not only benevolent in that he allowed his fields to be taken for no profit whatsoever as a benevolent type of gesture, but he's also concerned for the safety and well-being of Ruth. And if he was concerned about her safety, I think he was concerned about the safety of his own employees. I don't want you going anywhere else. Because if you go somewhere else, you're putting your life in jeopardy. Not all people in this world are godly. Not all people will care about you and be benevolent to you. Some people are going to be wanting to take advantage of you. I want you here. And we'll get into that in just a minute as to why. But he said, I want you here. Not only do I want you here, but I have already told the men who are working for me that they are not allowed to touch the women. He was concerned about the purity of his employees. That's nice to not have to worry about where you work or being taken advantage of. That was Boaz. And he says, when you're thirsty, you won't have to bring a 5-gallon jug, insulated jug from home with something in it. My men will have drawn water for you to freely partake of. Then she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath been fully shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work. A full reward be given to thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. I've heard of your faith in the God Jehovah that we worship. I have seen your faith and how you have responded to the family tragedies that you have experienced and how you are continuing to support your mother-in-law, who you had no responsibilities to whatsoever. Being a godly man, and he's not going to say this for himself, but being a godly man, he is interested in a godly response to godly responses. I want to make sure that because of your response to the God of our salvation, that you enjoy all the benefits of your salvation. I want you to have a full reward. that you might understand how good God is. I want to make light so that you can understand the goodness of God. Then she said, verse 13, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, for thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaids." And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, supper time, "Come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. You're not one of my maidens. I've already been quite generous to you. But I'll tell you what. I know you're really struggling. Supper time, you have supper with us. You eat what we're going to eat. And not just the bread. I would have liked this. Here's some corn. Parched corn. I don't know about that one, but here's some corn. Went over and beyond call of duty. He was absolutely generous. And may I say to you that as you go back to verse 1 and find out that he was a mighty man of wealth, knowing that is why he is a mighty man of wealth. He was willing to give away all his profits for the benefit of this woman. And God blessed him. The problem with the workforce today is that I want to get what I can get for me. And Boaz says, if I take care of other people, God will take care of me. And he was a mighty man of wealth. He was willing to give away what he really didn't have to give away. He gave of his time. He could have stayed in Bethlehem. Hey, you know what? I'm on the board of directors of the Bethlehem Bank here. And hey, those guys out there, they can take care of business. I don't need to be out here. I'm going to stay in here and make a name for myself doing the bank business. Or you know what? There's a good play in the downtown Bethlehem theater today. And I just want to sit back and relax. And nothing wrong with having relaxation or going to the theater or anything as long as what's there is wholesome. But he was willing to give up his time, quote unquote, for other people's time. He was willing to give up his wealth. He was willing to give up his energies. He was investigating. He could have come back to the field, gone to his home, and taken a nap. But he said, hey, I saw this woman out here today. Well, that's interesting, but I'm going home. But he stayed around to ask questions, and he stayed around to make sure she was well taken care of. He invested his energies in this woman. He kept investing. And the Lord kept bringing back. And he became a wealthy man because of it. That's a good boss. And when you're investing in people, you're a good boss too. It's as simple as that. Now, next week, Lord willing, we'll look at it from the other perspective. We'll look at Ruth as the model employee and see what employees should be doing in relationship to their employers. And it basically is the same thing. Father, we do thank you for a good day today. We thank you for the beauty of the day that we enjoyed in the weather and the fall temperatures, the beauty of creation as it's been described today. We thank you for your generosity to us. We thank you that you are a God who has made an ultimate sacrifice that we might have a salvation from sin, a home in heaven, and everything that goes with that, just like Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, did for Ruth. Lord, while we may not necessarily be those who are in a business operation, yet there are times when we have positions of authority over others, and we need to act like a good boss. Help us to learn from these principles tonight, and be willing to give of ourselves in the same way that you gave of yourself for us and made us wealthy people. Lord, we just praise you tonight for you being who you are and none other. We ask that you'll use these things for your glory. May the name of Jesus Christ be exalted. In his name we pray. Amen. Have a good week.